The Constable General has decided not to charge your associate for impersonating an officer of the law.
Wexilium dabbed at his lip with the handkerchief. He sat in the precinct office nearest the Vanisher Lair. He felt like slag, with broken ribs and half his body wrapped in bandages. He'd have scars from this.
The Constable General should be glad for Lord Wexilium's aid. In fact, he should have begged for Lord Wexilium's help all along.
Marisi sat beside him on the bench, hovering protectively.
He actually does seem glad.
Now that Wexilium paid closer attention, he noticed how the Constable kept glancing through the precinct room toward Breton, the Constable General. Reddy's eyes narrowed slightly, lips turning down. He was baffled by his superior's calm reaction to events. Wexilium was too exhausted at the moment to bother with the anomaly. In fact, it was nice to hear of something happening in his favor. Reddy was waved over by one of the other constables and he left. Marisi laid a hand on Waxilium's good arm. He could practically feel her concern for him physically in the way she hesitated, the way her brow wrinkled.
You did well. Miles was your catch, Lady Marisi.
I'm not the one who had to be beaten bloody.
Wounds heal, even on an old horse like me. Watching him attack me and doing nothing, I'll bet that was excruciating. I don't think I could have stood it if our places had been reversed.
You'd have done it. You're like that. You're every bit the man I thought you might be, yet somehow more real at the same time.
She looked at him, eyes wide, lips pursed, as if she wanted to say more. He could read her intent in those eyes.
This isn't going to work, Lady Marisi. I'm thankful for your aid, very thankful. But the thing you wish between us is not viable. I'm sorry.
Of course, I wasn't implying such a thing. Why would you think, I mean, silly?
I apologize then.
They both knew what the exchange had meant. He felt a deep regret.
If I were 10 years younger.
It wasn't the age, per se. It was what those years had done to him. When you watched a woman you loved die by your own gunshot, when you saw an old colleague and respected lawkeeper turn bad, it did things to you, ripped you up inside. And those wounds, they didn't heal nearly as easily as the bodily ones. This woman was young, full of life. She didn't deserve someone who was basically all scars wrapped up in a thick skin of sun-dried leather. Eventually, Constable General Breton walked over to them. He was as stiff-backed as before, Constable's hat carried under his arm.
Lord Wexilium.
Constable General.
For your efforts today, I have requested that the Senate give you a citywide deputized forbearance.
Wexilium blinked in surprise.
If you are not aware, this would give you powers of investigation and arrest, as if you were a member of the constabulary, sufficient to authorize actions such as those of last night.
That is very considerate of you.
It is one of the only ways to excuse your actions without drawing embarrassment down upon the precinct. I have backdated the request, and if we are in luck, nobody will realize you were working alone this past night. Also, I do not wish for you to feel that you need to work alone. This city could use your expertise.
With all due respect, sir, that's quite a change from your previous stance.
I have had occasion to change my mind. You should know that I will soon be retiring. A new Constable General will be appointed in my position, but he will be required to accept the Senate's mandate regarding you, should this motion be accepted.
I thank you.
It's for the good of the city. Of course, note that if you abuse this privilege, it will undoubtedly be revoked.
Breton nodded awkwardly and withdrew. Wexilium scratched at his chin, watching the man. Something decidedly odd was going on there. He was almost like a different person. Wayne passed him, tipping his lucky hat, which was bloodied on one side, and grinning as he approached Wexilium and Marisi.
Here.
Wayne covertly handed something wrapped in a handkerchief to Wexilium. It was unexpectedly heavy.
Got you another of those guns. Don't worry. I traded a real nice scarf for it.
And where did you get the scarf?
Off one of the dead blokes you shot. So it wasn't stealing. He ain't gonna need it after all.
Wexilium tucked the gun into his empty holster. The other holster held Vindication. Marisi had searched through the hideout after Miles was taken and had recovered it for him. That was good. It would have been sad to survive this night, only to have Renette kill him.
So, you traded a dead man's scarf for another dead man's gun. But The gun itself belonged to someone dead, so by the same logic...
Don't try. Logic doesn't work on Wayne.
I bought a ward against it off a traveling fortune teller. It lets me add 2 and 2 and get a pickle.
I have no response to that.
Technically, that was a response.
Looks like they fished that gunsmith out of the canal for you, Wax. And he's alive. Not real happy, but alive.
Has anyone found anything regarding the other women who were kidnapped?
Wayne glanced at Marisie, who shook her head.
Nothing. Maybe Miles will know where they are.
If he'll talk.
Miles had stopped feeling pain long ago. Waxillium wasn't certain how anyone would go about interrogating him. Waxillium felt that by not rescuing the other women, he had failed in large measure. He'd vowed to get Steris back, and he had, but a greater evil had been done. Waxillium looked over to see Steris stepping out of the captain's office. A pair of senior constables had taken her statement after taking that of Waxillium and Wayne. The two constables waved for Marisie next, and she went, glancing over her shoulder at Waxillium. He'd told her to be frank and straightforward with them and to not hide anything he or Wayne had done. Though, if she could, she was to obscure Renette's role. Wayne wandered over to where some constables were eating morning sandwiches. They regarded him with suspicion, but, by experience, Waxillium knew that Wayne would soon have them laughing and asking him to join them. Waxillium watched for a moment before realizing that Steris had approached him. She sat down in the chair directly across from him, maintaining good posture. She had fixed her hair, and while her dress was rumpled from her day of captivity, she looked relatively composed.
Lord Waxillium, I find it necessary to offer you my thanks.
I hope the necessity isn't too onerous.
Only in that it comes... is required, after an onerous captivity. You should know that I was not touched indecently by my captors. I remain pure.
Rust and ruins, Steris. I'm glad, but I didn't need to know that.
You did, assuming you still wish to proceed with our nuptials.
It wouldn't matter either way. Besides, I thought we weren't to that point yet. We haven't even announced that we are seeing one another.
Yes, though I believe we can now amend our previous timetable. You see, a dramatic rescue such as you have effected will be expected to create an outpouring of my emotions. What once might have been a scandal will instead be viewed as romantic. We could plausibly announce an engagement next week and have it be accepted in high society without concern or comment.
That's good, I suppose.
Yes. Shall I proceed with our contract, then?
You don't mind that I've returned to the miscreant ways of my past?
I rather think that I would soon be dead if you had not. I am not in a position to complain.
I intend to continue. Well, not every day, patrolling a beat or anything like that. But I've received a forbearance and an offer to be involved in the constabulary business in the city. I plan to take on the occasional problem that needs extra attention.
Every gentleman needs a hobby. And considering the self-indulgences of some men I've known, this wouldn't be problematic by comparison. In short, my lord, I see you for what you are. The two of us, we are beyond the points in our lives where expecting the other to change would be realistic. I will accept this about you if you will accept me. I am not without my faults, as my previous 3 suitors chose to explain to me at length in written communication.
I hadn't realized.
It is not an issue worthy of your attention, really. Though I did think that you'd have realized I did not come to this potential union without, no offense, a measure of desperation.
I understand.
Steris hesitated. Then a bit of her coldness seemed to depart. Some of her control, her steely will, fell away. She looked tired suddenly, worn. Though behind that mask, he saw something that might have been affection for him. She clasped her hands before her.
I am not good with people, Lord Waxillium. I realize it. I must stress, however, that you have my thanks for what you have done. I speak it from the depths of all that I am. Thank you.
He met her eyes and nodded.
So, we progress with our engagement?
He hesitated. There was no reason not to, but a part of him found that he thought himself a coward. Of the 2 offers this day, one unspoken, the other blunt, this was the one he was contemplating? He glanced toward the room where Marisie was giving the report of her involvement in this mess. She was entrancing. Beautiful, intelligent, motivated. By all logic and reason, he should have been completely infatuated with her. In fact, she reminded him a lot of Lessie. Perhaps that was the problem. He looked back to Steris.
We move forward.